I want to apologize to, I see a few new faces on it. I didn't introduce myself, and I apologize again for that. My name is Mike, and the last 2.5 months I've been filling down as the interim pastor down at First Baptist Church in Crescent because they had a need down there. But this is my home church. This is my family, local family here. And what a blessing it is to be back. Teachers always try to paint a verbal picture of what is being taught. And God's Word is not meant to be a storytelling book for just reading enjoyment. Although sometimes it is enjoyable to sit down and just read it. God had a purpose in writing in the written Word, and He is speaking to you through His Word. I believe God's Word always has a message behind it, and that message at times reveals itself in different ways. With that being said, I always want to tie God's Word to a practical aspect of our lives. If we can't take God's Word and put it into action, then it's only good as head knowledge. There. The bottom line, God's Word is not read as a once and done book. It needs to be read over and over and over. And God will continue to reveal what He wants you to know each time you read it. And it may be something different when you read it. At the beginning of the book of Luke, we read about the angel Gabriel busy bringing God's message to two women, to Elizabeth, who would soon to be the mother of John the Baptist, and to Mary, who would soon to be the mother of Jesus. In verse 39, we read about Mary after hearing what the angel Gabriel told her about her cousin Elizabeth becoming pregnant, and she decided to travel and visit her. It says in 39 again, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And as it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit. Then she, Elizabeth, spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" When we read God's Word, a picture starts to form in our minds of what's going on. And sometimes it's really hard for us to picture that because it's 2,000 years ago. Times were different back then. Mode of transportation was different back then. And so I look at this picture of the two women with the amazing news about having babies that would change the world getting together. Now, I can remember, I have 9 children, 5 girls and 4 boys. And I can remember, not that any one of them was more precious than any other one, but the first one, when my wife came to me and said she was pregnant and we were going to have a child, yahoo! I was jumping around and filled with joy, and I wanted to share it with anybody and everybody that would listen to me. So I'm thinking, wow, what these two women must have been like when they came together. You know, hugging each other, jumping around and saying, whoa, just tears of joy flowing between them and everything. And I also wonder about when it said that Mary would travel with haste. And I'm going, okay, what's that word? Okay, haste means fast, right? How fast can you get 2,000 years ago from one place to another? How did she do it? You know, did she jump on a donkey and took off running? Or did she take off running herself or just ran fast or whatever? So I'm thinking, whoa, how did this work here? When Mary met Elizabeth and they were embracing each other and dancing around the room, Mary started to sing a song that was later titled Magnificat. And here's that song. And it starts in chapter 1 of verse 48, chapter 2, excuse me. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he is who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And I'm thinking, whoa. In old time Israel, the ladies, the women, were second class. They were not taught everything like the men were. The men were taken as children and taught everything in the Jewish culture, the laws and everything else, but the women weren't. So I'm thinking, how did Mary, a young woman, not raised in a super educated class, come to know these things and realize these things with it? So looking at that song, it shows one of the reasons why God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. It talks about praise and magnification. The song begins with, my soul glories the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It talks about humility and favor. Mary acknowledges God's favor on her humble state, noting that all generations will call her blessed. How did she know that that was going to happen that way? That even to this day, we call her blessed for being the mother of Jesus. It talks about God's strength and mercy. She proclaims God's mighty deeds, scattering the proud, exalting the humble, showing mercy to those who fear him. That talks about Jesus coming. And the covenant faithfulness. The song concludes with Mary praising God for helping Israel, remembering his promise of mercy to Abraham and his descendants. You stop and think. These people were under the Roman crush of rule there. They were constantly looking for a king, a savior, to take them out from underneath that rule and to bring Jerusalem and the Jewish nation back to what it was at one time. If you notice at the end of verse 41, when Mary and Elizabeth first met each other, Elizabeth said that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe after reading this song that both the women possibly were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the topic I want to talk about this morning, the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, there are a few things that are very hard to explain in worldly terms. This is one of them. When I have been asked to explain some of these things by people searching for biblical answers, and I can't explain it in a logical way, I have to say I accept them by faith and believe them. One of these questions and a foundational fact of the Christian faith is the existence of three co-eternal, three Godhead, sorry, I got tongue-tied there for a minute. A foundational fact of the Christian faith is the Godhead three in one. That's one of those things that's hard to explain. How do you prove it? There, you can't. on it. How do you explain it? God is one being, essence and substance, existing in three co-eternal distinct persons, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Each fully God, but distinct in their roles and relationship. Not three separate gods, like all the gods that were running around in Corinth and everything, the hundreds of them, but one unified Godhead. God is one in nature, but three in personhood, meaning they share the same divine being. All three persons have always existed and are equal in divinity, though they function with different relational values and roles. You go, okay, if somebody who is a non-believer that asks you that question about that I heard about the triune God, how do you put that in worldly terms? It's really hard to do. The Trinity is considered a mystery beyond complete human understanding. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The only way I can answer that is God said it and I believe it. There, it is by faith and by faith only. Back 40 years ago, coming to Christ, I didn't know the Lord for 4 years, the first 40 years of my life. I got invited to a Bible study on a Wednesday night about dispensational millennialism, the timeline of God, something that's so far out there that I couldn't explain that either at all. I sat there and I listened to it, and I listened to the timeline of God and everything that was. God always was, is, and will always be. And something started to move in me at that time. I can remember leaving that little schoolhouse where that Bible study was at, and I don't remember walking down the steps. I remember floating down the steps. And I didn't know what was going on. But evidently, the man who had invited me and the pastor of that church saw something that was happening in me. And the next day, they came over and shared the gospel with me. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am a career salesman. I can sell anything, just about. But I was sold. I did not have to be proved about any part of it. I believed it was all the truth with it. And I tell you what, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit before even coming to Christ, because it takes that push to bring you to that door that we're talking about. Can I explain it in human terms? There is no way. But for the first couple of years of my young, babe, Christian life, I told anybody and everybody that would stop and listen to me about it. Could I answer the questions? No. Could I say, I can't prove it? No. But I can tell you what it did to me and how it changed my life to it. That was my testimony. How many of you have gone through this experience when God wanted you to do something? You don't know why you did it. You don't know why you stopped and prayed with somebody because they were hurting. You don't know why you were being moved to go wrap your arms around somebody and hug them and tell them that you loved them. You have no idea. It's got to be the Holy Spirit working in you. Let's take a deeper dive into the Holy Spirit. And I want to cover three distinct areas about Him and His impact on us. First is the indwelling and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I explain it? There's no worldly terms that you can explain that at all. Second, what it's like to live under the submission of the Holy Spirit. Whether you realize it or not, as a believer, you are being moved by God, the Holy Spirit. And third, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The question is, can the Holy Spirit move someone to do something without filling them with the Holy Spirit? I believe the answer is yes. God is all powerful. He can do anything he wants. And he can do it without filling somebody, but he can move them. He can put words in their mouth. He can cause actions to take place. The Holy Spirit can move a person to do something without filling them or coming to live within them. After all, God is all-powerful. Example, in the Old Testament, in Judges 6:34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, then he blew the trumpet, and the Asherites gathered behind him. Caused him to do that. Didn't explain anything, didn't say, blow it seven times, do this, or anything like that. Said, blow it. And they did. In 2 Samuel 23-2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and his word was on my tongue. Note, in the Old Testament, you don't hear the word, the Holy Spirit. You hear the Spirit of God, which is the same thing there. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is a one-time event. It doesn't continue. It's one time that you're captured. Where the Spirit comes to live within you, marking you as God's own. This is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. Do you know what that means, that seal? Back 2,000 years ago, when you accepted somebody as your master and you were a slave, that they owned you, they took you and they took and used a punch or an awl, and they put a hole in your ear and put a ring in it, signifying that you belong to them. The Holy Spirit coming into us does the same thing. It says, you belong to God. You are a child of God. The closest thing I can explain that by in today's age, husbands and wives have a ring. And what is that ring? It says that you belong to your spouse. That is a seal. But when you are sealed, there's nobody else that can get into it. It is closed. It is covered completely. So when the Holy Spirit fills you, it doesn't take you over. It comes alongside your spirit. And here is where the battle takes place. Because our spirit is naturally evil. We want what we want, and we want it now. Right? Don't we? We don't want to wait for it at all. So we have this banging that's going on inside us about we want to do this. We want to play this game. We want to spend this money. We want to do whatever. And the Holy Spirit's going, no, calm down. Here, we're going to go this way and so on and change. So that battle is always going on. So one of my prayers is less of me, more of him inside me. Let him control me on it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit provides strength, guidance, power for daily living, not just dramatic moments. Praise God on that. So please pardon me when my view of the Holy Spirit, when I look at him as my modem, and I think of him as my modem inside me, when I'm praying especially. He guides believers to pray in alignment with God's will, helping them when they don't know what to say. How many times have you been asked to pray for somebody and you don't know the circumstances to it? But God, you know what's going on. You know my heart. You know that I care. I care about this person. I may not even know that person. Like praying for somebody that's injured or going through health issues or battling whatever's out there. God knows, but he wants to hear our heart there. And so it says in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. That's my modem in here. It's talking to God. But remember, it's not a one-way path. It goes up and it comes down. So what's my modem doing to me? It's the Holy Spirit in there talking to me about what to do. The communication line is open with God. And that's the spiritual communication line that's open. Up and down. So after being filled with the Holy Spirit, we are under his submission, right? As believers, we have given our lives to our Lord and Savior. Remember the triune Godhead, all three parts there. This is different from the initial filling and is a command for believers to continually yield, not just when you were saved at that moment where you were indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but continually, day after day, night, morning, all times there. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Acknowledge your need for God and yield to his will. Listen his leading, of his leading, and act on it. It needs a life, it leads a life marked by love, joy, peace, and the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And he helps you understand spiritual truths and discerning what God's will is. Jesus told his disciples that he would send a helper in John 14:16. But listen to it carefully. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. If the Holy Spirit is another advocate, who was the first advocate? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He knew he wasn't going to be on this earth forever. He came for a short time, 33 years. 3 years were extremely powerful that we read about. But he knew he wasn't going to be here to help us all the time there beside us. So what did he ask the Father for? Another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit that comes in and is with us forever. Forever. You are not out there on your own. The Holy Spirit is always there to help you and to guide you. But remember, he will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. How many times does this sound like, well, it's your conscience talking to you, that you did something wrong and you said, you know what? I either need to get down on my knees and ask for forgiveness, or I need to go to somebody and apologize because I did something wrong or I said something wrong. He convicts you of that. That's your conscience sitting in there. Praise God, not just my human I want. It's God in there acting on us. He will guide you to all truth. Have you ever had a situation when talking with somebody and they are explaining a situation or asking for advice and ask a question and you're not sure what to say? I have no words. I don't know what to say about it on there. But you can ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. You can ask, all you can do is say, can we pray about this? And all. He will put the words in your tongue that need to come out. He will also show you things to come. And you think, wait a minute. This is not magical, woohoo type things. Do you know that God's word shows you the things that are to come? If you don't believe me, jump into Revelation, because it'll scare the socks off you on it. But he will show you. But you have to read the book to find out what those things are coming to. There. He will glorify Christ. When we see and hear things that God is doing, the first thing I say is praise God or thank you, Jesus. That's not a habit. I don't say that out of habit. I mean that. There. When we do praise and prayer and we hear praises that take place, don't take those things for granted. They are not coincidence. God is in control and moving in ways we could never imagine on it. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and show them to you. We often take for granted the good things that happen. Again, there is no coincidence. God has a plan and he's working out his love for you continually. Remember, you are a child of God. And if you were ever a parent and you wanted things for your children, for the best for them, that's just an example, magnified 1,000 times, that God wants for us. Working with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing process. The renewing of the Holy Spirit refers to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that is transforming believers from a spiritual death to a new life. We are told when we accept Christ that we are a babe in Christ, and we're not supposed to stay a babe in Christ. So we have to be taught. We have to be in the Word. We have to try to learn more and more what it's like to be a Christian. It's a profound, eternal change that empowers believers for righteous living and aligns us with God's will, moving us from a worldly conformity to a divine transformation. Tell you what, the first 40 years of my life was all about me. Terrible father, terrible husband, terrible employee and stuff. It was all about me. It's what I want and what I want to do and everything. And to me it was a dramatic difference, 180-degree change to it. And some people saw that and they didn't believe it. But that's okay. I'm going to keep right on doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian, as somebody who loves the Lord Jesus with it. And last but not least, you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit each and every day. Refilling of the Holy Spirit is the ongoing Christian practice of continually yielding to God's presence, power, guidance, and it's distinct from the initial filling of the Spirit. It involves consistent prayer, repentance, obedience, and surrender to the experience empowered living that we get from God. It's like recharging a battery to fuel the spiritual growth and purpose. We are living in an evil, corrupt, foreign world. We are. We're not citizens of this world. And we cannot exist on our own. If we are called away on our own, Satan will attack us, will try to separate us, will try to turn us around, to try to paint us as bad people. Look at what they're doing. We must have help. And God knew that we would need to be filled with that helper, the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind can conceive, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit changes all things, even the deep things of God, into us. Elizabeth and Mary both recognized the move of the Holy Spirit in them. If you read about that, how could they not? And they didn't whine and complain. Mary did question it, and I'm sure Elizabeth questioned it too on it. But they not only recognized it, they celebrated the joy of the Spirit. So let me ask you this morning, are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
Amen. Absolutely.
If you're not sure, then talk to God. Ask him to reveal. Search your soul. And if you want somebody to pray with you, I'm always available to pray with you. That's the best thing that can happen and all. So don't wait. The time is short. You never know when the ticking meter goes dong and your time's over. There. When I read scriptures in the morning and pray, I always try to include four prayer requests for the Holy Spirit. We tend to think over the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about God and we talk a lot about his son Jesus. But it's a triune Godhead, all the same. And the Holy Spirit is the closest to God that we've got. He indwells us with it. So why wouldn't I talk to him when I prayed? The four things that I ask him. Holy Spirit, please fill me and renew me today. Please lead me and guide me through this world. Please teach me the things of Christ so I can become more Christ-like. And finally, please protect me from the world, from my flesh, and from the principalities of evil. And I believe he honors that. Luke 11:13, Jesus was talking to unbelievers, people that were getting ready to knock on the door. And they were searching for their salvation. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So why shouldn't I ask my Father, who wants the best for me, to fill me, to renew me? If our Father in heaven gives the Holy Spirit to those who seek and come to Christ, why would he not fill me and renew me each and every day? So you could pour it out to the lost world. Fill me up to overflowing so I can just give it away freely. But refill me. Keep me going. Give me that energy to do it. Don't stop on it. So I want the Holy Spirit to overflow me. Do you? I would like to close in this prayer if I can. And I pray that you would take the Holy Spirit and take it out this door with you. It is within you. Let it overflow to the world. Our Father in heaven, We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that you have given us as helpers to get through this world. We often forget the Trinity and everything all three of you do for us. May we come to you each and every day and ask you to fill up our human tank with the words and the praises and the actions that you deserve as our Father. Please guide us through this foreign world and allow us to share in the building of your kingdom. We pray these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.